السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ایک روایت میں آتا ہے حضرت صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ اذکروا.
Hazur says it is mentioned in a narration that the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, related
اپنے وفات پا جانے والوں کی خوبیوں کا ذکر کرو.
اذکروا محاسن موتکم
اسی میں آگے ان کی برائیاں بیان نہ کیا کرو.
Only mention the good qualities of those who have passed away. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says further here that do not relate the bad qualities of those who have passed away. Hazur says that within every person are found good qualities and are also found weaknesses. But after a person passes away, because the connection of a person is cut from this world, for this reason, there is no need to mention any of his bad qualities or shortcomings anymore. Indeed, his good qualities and his virtues most certainly should be conveyed, and they should be mentioned. For one, this inspires others to carry out virtues. And secondly, this motivates others to pray for the forgiveness of the person who has passed away, and it also caters for their well-being. That is, when their good qualities are related. As I stated, that virtues and vices are found within every person. This is human nature. Sometimes it is inclined further towards goodness and sometimes it is prone to weakness. But there are certain persons who are such that their virtues and their good qualities sparkle and shine in such a manner that it causes their human weaknesses within them to completely vanish from the sight of others. Their virtues are so widespread and profuse that the weaknesses are concealed behind them. Most fortunate are such persons whose good qualities and virtues are acknowledged and mentioned by every person who is acquainted with him. And in accordance with one hadith, if such a condition prevails, then paradise becomes wajib or necessary for him. Today I will speak about one such person. Every single person who was acquainted with him would only praise his high virtues. He was a person who was not a Pakistani or Indian Ahmadi. He was not from a family of a companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, nor was he born an Ahmadi, nor did he live from childhood to an elderly age under the auspices of the Tarbiyat of the Khilafat or the Jamaat. Just a short while ago, he took the pledge of allegiance of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, leaving behind many other people. He was our brother, respected Ravil Bukharaev Sahib, who was Russian and who passed away on 24th January. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. From amongst the early Ahmadis who accepted the promised Messiah alayhi salam in Russia, Ravil Sahib was one grain from amongst a handful of sand. Yet, in his scholarship and spiritual knowledge, his sincerity and devotion, his selflessness, his exceptional connection with Khilafat, his humility and humbleness, and in his zeal and fervor to convey the message of the promised Messiah on whom be peace throughout Russia, he was like a shining star who proved to be the means of guidance for numerous persons. And inshallah, God enabling, when the revelation to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam will be fulfilled, an Ahmadiyyat will spread in Russia like grains of sand. Then, inshallah, God willing, history will always remember the services of Ravil Bukharaev Sahib. At this time, I will mention some further details regarding Ravil Bukharaev Sahib. Ravil Sahib would serve the Jamaat immensely when he was only yet introduced to the Jamaat and was not an Ahmadi himself. At that time, he carried out translation work for the Jamaat. Then, when he came here, he worked in the BBC. He was involved with the Russian programs. After he left the BBC, he dedicated his life completely and did waqf. It would appear as if night and day he had only one zeal and passion within him, that in every possible way he should not waste a single moment of his time in terms of his service towards Ahmadiyyat, that every moment of his life should be spent in service to the Jamaat, even on the day of his demise. This very passion and enthusiasm was filled within him. He was preparing for a meeting with MTA to arrange for a new program that was being produced. During his preparations, his phone call came, and he said that he was not feeling too well, and this is the reason why he would not be able to attend. He suffered a massive heart attack, which proved fatal. And this is how he passed away. At the time of his demise, he was 61 years old. He is survived by a widow. He had no children himself, but his wife had a son who had passed away previously. Ravil Sahib was first introduced to the Jamaat at the outset of 1990 through Kaleem Khawar Sahib. Ravil Sahib had come to London for some research regarding the Tatar nation, and here he met with this person. As a result of some mulaqats or meetings with Hazrat Khalif Domasi Rabi, the fourth Khalifa, he entered into Ahmadiyyat. Ravil Sahib has written himself in one place. Although I am a Muslim by birth, but due to the atheistic society, until 1989, my knowledge of Islam was equal to being nothing. In the society that I was brought up, our mother tongue, Tatar, was completely banned. Hazur said they were even banned from speaking Tatar. Raveel Sahib continues to write that the Tatar language was even removed from the academic syllabus, but the Islamic influence remained on the Tatars, be they party workers or school teachers. They would always say Bismillah in the name of Allah before carrying out any task. The Tatar culture is 1,000 years old and there's always been an influence of Islam upon it. For this reason, the influence of the force of atheism that was prevalent during the time of my parents waned somewhat during my upbringing. I cannot say that I was a concealed Muslim who was always on the lookout for an opportunity to go and say prayers at the mosque. This was not the case at all. I was a student and a youngster, and in accordance with the society, whatever came into my mind, I would carry out. Raveel Sahib then writes, in 1989, the circumstances improved, and alongside religious freedoms, all other freedoms were beginning to be granted. But to ascertain true religion, I was well aware that spiritual knowledge cannot be gained by mere reasoning. The blessing of faith is granted by God Himself. I was confused. Intellectually, I had understood that it was Islam and Islam alone which gives the best teaching. But despite this, my soul was completely empty. The only aspect which saved me from this doubt and misconjecture were a few people who I met in London, and whom now I consider to be true and real Muslims, and this is that Jamaat which is considered to be heretical in the Islamic world. In other words, the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. Then he writes, the teaching of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat is that a person cannot attain the love of God until he loves the creation of God. As soon as I learned this, I was aware that this indeed was my destination. Here I found everything together, that is, my education, my knowledge, reason, and my thirst for proofs based on reasoning, search of true religion, and also spiritual experiences. I found all of this together in just one place. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Rabi, the fourth Khalifa, may Allah have mercy upon him, at the Jalsa Salana 1993, he mentioned in his address that now in the new phase, with the grace of Almighty Allah, once again connections have been reinstated in Hungary. Previously, in the era of Hadrat Khalifatul Masih II, missions had been established in Hungary, but due to certain circumstances, they had to be shut down. So Hadrat Khalifatul Masih Rabi says, in the new era, connections have been established in Hungary, and the first fruit of this phase is Makhlus Zalahi Sahib of Hungary. He came to England himself. Because one of our Russian Ahmadi friends, Raveel Sahib, was well known in intellectual circles, for this reason they were acquainted with one another, that is, with Makhlus Zalahi Sahib. And Makhlus Zalahi Sahib would repeatedly bring him to the mosque. Khalifa Rabi says that after a few meetings, I observed that the state of his heart had changed, that is, the state of Raveel Sahib, and with the grace of Almighty Allah, he left after taking the bet, the pledge of allegiance. And in Hungary, he established new foundations for Tabligh, for the preaching. Hadrat Khalifatul Masih IV continues and says, as a result of the previous visit of Raveel Sahib, now the Jamaats there, with the grace of Almighty Allah, have become strong. From the effects that are manifesting, it is hoped that now the Jamaats there will rapidly spread. The Taristan, which is the home country of Raveel Sahib, 2-3 years ago, Marod Ziyad Nof Sahib came from there for the UK Jalsa. He remained very steadfast and very loyal. When he returned, he kept a connection with the Jamaat and would declare himself an Ahmadi. His daughter as well, also with great devotion and loyalty, kept a link with the Jamaat and would enhance in the faith. Hadrat Khalifatul Masih IV then says, for these nations to accept Islam is not so easy, who for 70 or so years have remained under the influence of atheism. Despite this, that their connection with Islam was not cut off, despite the fact that their link with Islam did not break, and there was some perception of Islam within their hearts, but practically they were not aware of any of the doctrines of Islam. And although Islam remained within the nation, but as a religion, practically speaking, they remained out of the fold of Islam. To bring them back into Islam and to instill the oneness of Allah the Almighty within their hearts is a hard-working job and requires prayers and is in need of a miracle. For this reason, pray. We are making the maximum efforts possible. We also pray. And the entire Jamaat should pray that may Allah the Almighty display to us a miraculous sign. Because in truth, for a spiritual revolution to be infused, miraculous signs are much more useful than prayers. Hazur says, as I stated, that Raveel Sahib was not an Ahmadi by birth. However, when one observed him, it would appear as if he had always been an Ahmadi. He was, in the true sense, an ambassador of Ahmadiyyat. Wherever he went, he would most certainly mention the Jamaat. Where he felt that perhaps by mentioning the Jamaat it would cause an adverse reaction, there he would utilize wisdom and he would spread the message of Islam and also mention the teachings of Ahmadiyyat. And when people asked him what his beliefs were, then he would mention the Jamaat, and then he would in this way fully introduce the Jamaat. He would always take care of which kind of book would be appropriate to give in which gathering, or what literature would be more suitable in what environment. Amongst the circle of friends were politicians, writers, poets, doctors, teachers and students of university and colleges, financial experts, and people from all walks of life. Raveel Sahib himself was an excellent poet, an excellent writer, an excellent journalist, translator, and also a da'in lillah, a one who calls towards Allah, who Allah the Almighty had granted with many good qualities. There is a long list of people who are acquainted with him and who appreciate him. Through Raveel Sahib in Russia and also the old states of Russia, such persons are being conveyed to the message of Ahmadiyya, that is the true Islam, when normally our missionaries and our Muballighin do not have access. Or even if they did, it is normally after a very long period of time. When Raveel Sahib would go to Moscow, then often he would partake in academic and poetic gatherings. Whenever attending such functions, he would always, in some way or the other, mention the Jamaat. He would tell his colleagues, that is the Ahmadis from before, that on this day, at this time, bring such and such introductory books of the Jamaat in such and such quantities. And then, during whatever program he attended, at the end, after he had introduced the Jamaat, he would most certainly provide those books or people would obtain them from him. Since the Russian desk was established in London, Raveel Sahib worked with extreme devotion, sincerity and passion. During his time, he did not care at all about hunger, neither did he care at all about anything else. His entire focus and concentration was on the completion of Jamaat work, and he never left any work unfinished. The missionaries who worked alongside him say that often we would say that we are exhausted, let us rest. So laughingly, he would say, you people tire very quickly. Because he would carry out the Russian dubbing of the Khutbat-e-Jumma, the Friday sermon, he would remain extremely anxious for this to be completed. 2 years ago, this work started on a large scale, and the translation of the Friday sermon in Russian began to broadcast on MTA, similarly also on the internet. Subsequently, on Saturday, he would undoubtedly ask his colleagues that, have you completed the translation of the sermon, or when will you complete it by? He would ask, would I be able to complete a dubbing by Sunday morning or the like? Sometimes he would even ask on Friday evening, that when will you complete the translation by? In short, until he completed the dubbing of the Friday sermon, he remained restless and anxious. During the days of Jalsa Salana, his engagements, his efforts, and also his passion were all exemplary. During the entire 3 days of Jalsa Salana, his fervorous efforts, his passion and zeal were especially a sight to behold. Alongside the addresses of the Khalifa Waqt, the Khalifa of the time, for the other speeches of the other speakers during the Jalsa Salana, he would provide the Russian translation for the guests attending the Jalsa Salana. The guests who would arrive at the Jalsa Salana from Russia and the former states of Russia, he would receive them very warmly and kindly. He would tell them about the progress of the Jamaat. He would always relate to them such things that would be a means of the strengthening of the faith for those joining anew. He would be concerned for the hospitality of the guests and would inform the organizers if certain arrangements had to be fulfilled. With reference to the blessings and importance of Jalsa Salana, in some way or the other, he would frequently mention this to his colleagues, that if we carry out the tabligh to Russia and the former states of Russia year upon year, that would not be as effective and beneficial as if we invited someone once to the Jalsa Salana and arranged for a mulaqat with the Khalifa Waqt, the Khalifa of the time. And for this, Rabiul Sahib would make maximum efforts that the greatest number of guests would come for the Jalsa. Rabiul Sahib translated many books of the Jamaat into Russian, which have proved to be of great use and support for tabligh in Russia and its former states. Apart from this, he also played an extremely prominent role in the Russian translation of the Holy Quran. This is an immense task that he carried out. Khalid Sahib avows from the Russian desk, who is a missionary working there, he writes that Rustam Hamad Ali Sahib and myself of Moscow, in 1997, using the Urdu translation of the Holy Quran by Hadrat Khalifa Masih IV, started a new translation into Russian of the Holy Quran. This was completed in 2004. They then both worked with Rabiul Sahib to carry out the work of his checking. This was completed in London. Rabiul Sahib would work day and night for approximately 3 months with extreme devotion, sincerity and tirelessness and completed it thus. Because the work of the translation of the Holy Quran is an immense responsibility, it demands due care and diligence. For this reason, Rabiul Sahib would cross-check every single word to first be satisfied that is the translation in exact accordance with the original verse of the Holy Quran. For this, Rabiul Sahib would carry out great investigation to find the most suitable word into Russian. Khalid Sahib says that Rabiul Sahib would sometimes take hours for just checking one verse of the Holy Quran. Rabiul Sahib would carry out full examination and cross-checking first. As a result of this, there are now 3 editions of the Russian translation of the Holy Quran that have been published, in London in 2006, from Moscow in 2007, and from Kazakhstan in 2008. With the grace of Almighty Allah, this is a sadqa-e jari, a continuous charity that will remind us of Rabiul Sahib. As I stated, Rabiul Sahib was a great scholar, a great journalist, and a great poet. He received many awards and honors. He received the highest award from Tataristan, the Musa Jalil Prize of Honor. This relates to 1996, before he became an Ahmadi. Then, in 2001, he received an award for his services to art. In 2006, in Tataristan, he received the highest honor, the National Prize of Honor. He received a major award for one of his books. In 2009, his book received an award in the Russian Book Fair. He received another award, the Order of Culture and Heritage Award. Similarly, he was a member of different societies, and these were societies spread in the world. As I mentioned earlier, he had worked for the BBC Russian service. One of his colleagues, Andriy Ostalsky, he was the chief editor of the BBC Russian service. Eulogizing Ravil Sahib, he says the following: "One of our long-serving colleagues who worked with us in the BBC Russian service, Ravil Bukharaev Sahib, is no longer amongst us. For over 15 years approximately, I worked side by side with Ravil Sahib. I believe myself to be most fortunate to have had the opportunity to work with a person of such high moral qualities and a person so truthful." So this person continues to write that from an educational perspective, Ravil Sahib was actually a mathematician. Yet he was a great poet, a truly devout, sincere and faithful Muslim. In fact, if he is deemed to be a religious scholar, it would not be incorrect. As a result of different facets of his personality, Ravil Sahib impressed and impacted many a persons. It was not erroneous to have been impacted by him because he spoke most eloquently. He was such a person whose knowledge was profound and widespread. Hazur says, "Indeed, those persons who had met Ravil Sahib were aware that Ravil Sahib's manner of speaking was most beautiful, eloquent and sweet, and he would win the hearts of people over." Ravil Sahib, in one of his books in Russian, and the translation of the title of the book is "Where Does This Path Lead? Only God Knows." In this book, whilst mentioning how he was introduced to the Jamaat, he writes the following. This is the summary of what he has written: that once in the evening, I was sitting before the TV. I was watching a program when suddenly the phone rang. The lady of the house where he was living, she answered the phone. He says, there was no need for me to answer the phone because I had no acquaintances at the time. And he was pondering that perhaps this English lady was phoning another English friend and they were discussing something. But anyhow, when the lady finished her conversation, she told the person who she was speaking to that, "I have a Russian guest here." He says, "I was shocked because according to the English etiquette, there was no need to mention this." He says, "In any case, I believe this to be a miracle, that this was destined to happen. Suddenly, I was called to the telephone and I was given the telephone. The person who was on the other side of the telephone, he expressed interest to know where I was from, and he invited me to come the following day to the mosque of Jamaat Ahmadiyya. He did not use the word Ahmadiyya during his conversation, but anyhow, because I desired to get out of the house, I approved his invitation and I put down the phone. He said, in the morning a car came to pick me up. This car took me to the mosque, which was located in the area called Patni. First of all, what I noticed there was a slogan of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, 'Love for all, hatred for none.' He says, I was interested in Islam from the beginning." Hazur says this was mentioned earlier. He continues, "So therefore I left aside all other work and started translating the books of Jamaat Ahmadiyya into Russian. I had been requested to carry out this work. I met the Khalifa of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, Mirza Tahir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah have mercy upon him. And after a two-hour fascinating conversation, I realized that we both viewed the world in the same way. I learned numerous new things from this meeting." He says, "In any case, after this, I became fully engrossed in this work. Although I did not fully understand or comprehend this, I still started this translation work. I presume that I would just be translating these books, but the subject matter within these books was so clear, beautiful and full of meaning that in just a short duration of time I became satisfied that my joining the Jamaat was no coincidence. This was a decree of Allah the Almighty that had brought me here." After that mulaqat or meeting, he was given translation work to carry out. and he was provided with living accommodation in Islamabad here in Tilford. He says it was an open and pleasant area, and I was given a room and a house. I enjoyed carrying out work in this environment. I was extremely happy. He writes that in the first 4 weeks in Islamabad, I worked with all my heart, to the extent that I hardly had an opportunity to sleep. I translated 4 books. During the translation work, I found the claims of the Jamaat most incredible. The most beautiful claim which impacted me greatest was where it is said that in the near future, Islam would spread in the entire world. Rabeel Sahib continues to write that Jamaat Ahmadiyya makes the claim that it alone is a community and there is no community equal to it, that in this time has been given the responsibility of bringing about a spiritual revolution. As he says, this is mentioned in this book in Russian. So he continues that this is a Jamaat that will convince the entire world of the oneness of Allah the Almighty. This Jamaat makes the claim that its founder is that Messiah who came as the promised Messiah for the entire world. This Jamaat challenges the entire world. It challenges various and powerful governments of the world. The challenges made by this tiny Jamaat were not only made at the outset or at the beginning. In fact, this Jamaat openly challenges every religion in the spiritual realm, including Christianity. Then Rabeel Sahib mentions one of his dreams in this book. He says, in a dream, I see I am in the Mosque Marjan in Karzan on the second floor of a mosque. There are many people who are offering the sunnat prayers. The roads are being set for the offering of the congregational prayer. At that time, I observed that everyone else is pointing in the direction of the mihrab. In other words, the direction in which they are supposed to be pointing. But I am facing towards the window, and from above, the sunlight is coming upon me. I ask myself within the dream that why am I not pointing towards where everyone else is? Within the dream, I state that indeed, I am on a journey. And according to the teachings of Islam, when a person is on journey, in his prayer he points towards the direction in which he is journeying. Therefore, the place where I was pointing towards was correct, that is where the light was emanating from. He writes, mentioning this dream further, that the takbir is said, that is the call to prayer is said for the congregational prayer, and I stand alongside with everyone in the row. Then the scene changes. Suddenly, what do I see? That I am completely naked and only my head is covered. But despite the fact that there are so many people around me, I do not feel ashamed. In addition, the environment of the mosque was extraordinary. On the upper level, there were the Tatari women robed in white on the gallery. Amongst all these people, I was naked yet not feeling ashamed at all, in the exact same manner as a newborn baby. The thought brimmed in my mind that how am I standing naked before God Almighty? He said, I related this extremely strange dream to Hadrat Khalifatul Masih Rabi, the fourth Khalifa, and he replied, a person cannot expect that he is spiritually reborn and he begins his journey towards the one God unless he sheds his old clothes and stands before God Almighty sincerely and also naked. He says, from this dream I came to know that there is no conjecture or disillusion left within me. Then another reality manifested upon me, that to just be spiritually reborn is not necessary. In fact, one sheds himself of his previous sin, which only God the Almighty can alleviate him from. To begin a new life is also extremely important. He then says, from the day I decided to take this path, and I am traveling alongside Jamaat Ahmadiyya, and I invite others and all other people towards this. Hazur says he is doing tabligh, preaching to the Russian people. So he continues, many of my concealed desires have been fulfilled, and my life is filled with such extraordinary accounts, which are normally called coincidences. Then within this same book, he mentions many of these incidents and accounts. Rabeel Sahib has translated many books of the Jamaat into Russian, and many other books he has carried out the work of checking and revision. Amongst the books he has translated is Dawatul Amir, Murder in the Name of Allah, Stories from Early Islam.
Muslim festivals hai, holy Muslims hai, Islam aur asr-e hazir ke masail hain. Prophet's kindness to children.
Muslim festivals, holy Muslims, Islam's answers to contemporary issues, Prophet's kindness to children, and various other children's books. Amongst the books that he has checked are Philosophy of the Teachings of Islam, Jesus in India, Our Teaching, Introduction to the Teachings of the Holy Quran, The Economic Model in Islam, The Status of Women in Islam, and also the life of Muhammad. In this same vein, he translated my various peace conference addresses held in different places. He deemed those to be extremely important for the Russian persons. In any case, the greatest and most important work that he carried out was the translation of the Holy Quran, as I mentioned.
BBC or websites Raveen sahab ki wafat ke baad unko khiraj tahsin pesh kiya to
the BBC and various websites also eulogized Raveen sahab and paid tribute to him. The BBC Russian website have written an article about him, and the author of this article is Andrei Ostolsky. He writes about the good qualities of Raveel Sahib, that he always worked on time and he was never late. He was an example for us, he writes. He was a true Muslim. In fact, he was a religious scholar, as was mentioned earlier. Last night, the BBC broadcast a 30-minute program about him. His voice was played and also aspects of his life were mentioned. Dr. Abdul Salam was also mentioned in that program. It was said that he was an Ahmadi Muslim, and because of the Holy Quran, he received the Nobel Prize. That is, this was said about Dr. Salam, and these other aspects were mentioned. The BBC said that he is a writer of all of Russia, not just Tataristan. The Tataristan National TV also provided news of his demise, and they also talked about his love for his country. He loved the Tatar and Khazar nations. He was mentioned on the television and also on websites. It is said about him on the internet that he is an Ahmadi Muslim. And on this Ukraine website, his interview has been published, in which he openly speaks about his introduction to Ahmadiyyat. In reply to a question, he said, "My journey began in Australia. From there, the International Jamaat Ahmadiyya called me to London. This Jamaat has been established for the rejuvenation of Islam, and its motto is love for all, hatred for none. It is according to my desire and my heart. I found nothing in it that was against Islam, or that it was nothing that they do that is contrary to Islam. You can say that the true Islam is Ahmadiyyat. Islam is not only for the Maulvis, in fact it is for all of mankind." For those who are in search of it, and those who love their faith. He says, "When I found my way, and I had the opportunity to learn about the basics of Islam and also to learn English," that is, during his time here when he was translating. "When I cut myself off from my ordinary life, then, due to God's way, I started receiving invitations to work from all directions." Hazur says he would not receive employment, but after accepting Ahmadiyyat, after working in translations, he was blessed so profusely that he started receiving invitations from everywhere. And he was invited frequently to Islamic conferences in Russia. When he was asked whether he had a teacher, he replied in answer that after my parents, my teacher is the Khalifa of Jamaat Ahmadiyya. I received such a teacher quite late. If I had received this kind of teacher 20 years ago, I would have achieved great things. Although Raveel Sahib possessed many good qualities, but some of his qualities distinguished him from others. They included that he was an extremely humble and modest person. He had extreme love and devotion towards Khilafat. He had a strong spiritual connection with Ahmadiyyat. And in front of that connection with Khilafat, nothing else held any value for him. Khalid Sahib writes, I should mention a recent occurrence. He said at the end of last December, there was a meeting with me and him. Khalid Sahib says, Raveel Sahib and myself came to your office for a mulaqat, for a meeting. Raveel Sahib put forward this suggestion that if you permit, that is, he asked me, if you permit, a book can be prepared in the Russian language where the Jamaat is introduced in full and its history presented, and those allegations can be explained, which from time to time are raised by different people amongst the Muslims, because the Maulvis have provided false details regarding the Jamaat. Due to this, in Russia, on various websites, allegations have been mentioned. I said to him then, that fine, do write a book. But in particular, take every allegation one by one and write short articles regarding them, and then publish this. And then send this to the websites. After hearing this, Raveel Sahib immediately said, yes, of course, Hazur. After this meeting, Khade Sahib said, when we left and came outside, Raveel Sahib said that for so many days I was pondering that where will I start this work from? Today, Hazur has made my difficulty easy and the entire blueprint has formed in my mind how the book is going to be now shaped based on these articles, and this has only been possible through the blessings of Khilafat. He said, I am now going to start this work from today. In addition to this, there was a recommendation to start a Russian website. I said to him to quickly take an assessment and make a report that who will make this website, how the work will be carried out, and who will upload and update this, etc., and what will be the manner of it. So, with regard to this, Raveel Sahib contacted Naseem Rahmatullah Sahib, and then from Germany, Malik Samar Imtiaz Sahib was also contacted. Through him, some work began. However, during this work, he was summoned by Allah the Almighty. In any case, when he heard that this website was going to begin, then immediately he started work on this. Khalid Sahib writes that one of the qualities of Raveel Sahib that he never wasted time. Those people who knew him closely and who had the opportunity to have worked with him, they all confess and admit that he always wanted to finish every task quickly, as if he had little time. And I have seen this as well, that he always wanted to carry out every work very quickly. So this Khalid Sahib continues that in short time he carried out thousands of tasks. Many times we had to say to him that, for God's sake, stop, have some break now. So he would laugh and say that, have you tired? I am not tired. During the work, if it was food time, he would try to finish his food as quickly as possible so that he could recontinue his work. He would always remain concerned and anxious for the Jamaat's progress in Russia and its other states. Whenever he went from London to Moscow, he always formed different programs and submitted different recommendations that until we do not keep in view the following point, or if we do not attract people's attention in this and this manner, we cannot spread the message of Ahmadiyyat quickly. For the Moscow and Kazan mission houses, there is not a purpose-built building or separate house. In fact, they are situated in flats. This is why he would often say that people perceive the center of a Jamaat. They imagine a very large building. So for this reason, for the sake of the progress of the Jamaat, we should purchase large buildings instead of using these flats. Whenever he brought any recommendation to me, I observed if there was great expenditure involved in it. Then at times, due to the costly expenditure or for any other reason, if I had to reject a recommendation, he would immediately accept that with great satisfaction and reassurance. I never saw a single amount of hesitation or complaint on his countenance. And it was not the case that if I rejected the recommendation, he sat down frustrated. Instead, he would immediately bring forth another recommendation which would involve lesser expenditure, or he would devise another manner of carrying out that task. In short, he was always concerned that in some way or the other, Jamaat Ahmadiyya's message should spread rapidly in all of Russia. One of our missionaries, Hafiz Sayyid Rahman Sahib, also writes, although Ravil Sahib only became an Ahmadi 20 or 22 years ago, but observing his great affection and love for his Khilafat and his insight into the status of Khilafat, it would seem that he was an Ahmadi from generation to generation. Men of his qualities were actually a lesson for other Ahmadis. He says, for the progress and spread of Jamaat Ahmadiyya in Russia, he always had a heartfelt pain and zeal and passion. To quicken and expand the work of Jamaat Ahmadiyya's Tabligh in Russia, he would often present recommendations in the era of Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV and Hazrat Khalifa Masih V. But if the Khalifa of the time did not deem his recommendations for any reason appropriate, or if they instructed that that work should be carried out in some different manner, then he never ever displayed any displeasure, or never did he comment on that. In fact, he would always say that if the Khalifa of the time has given any open guidance, then to opinionate upon this, in my view, is immoral and also a sin. If the Khalifa of the time has given a guidance about any points, he would remain completely silent. This aspect, in terms of his insight into the status of Khilafat, for many old Ahmadis and new Ahmadis is a lesson and a model. One of our devout, holy and elder Ahmadis, who is Russian, Oral Sharif Bob Sahib, upon the demise of Ravil Sahib, writes about him. Ravil Sahib was a person of great thoughts, and he leaves behind great services for the Jamaat, to work hard for his nation and for his religion, that is, Islam, with wisdom and also intellect he believed to be a part of his faith. For this reason, he joined the Jamaat amongst the Muslims desiring reformation, that is, Jamaat Ahmadiyya, and he entered it. From Kazakhstan, one of our Malim, Rafat Tokamuf Sahib, he writes in his letter of condolence, I was first introduced to Ravil Sahib through his books which he translated into Russian. Ravil Sahib was a very good and sincere person. I have heard that before his operation, Ravil Sahib said, if I live after my operation, then I will dedicate my life. Respected Ravil Sahib was an extremely sincere person who always kept his word. Once when he was going to London with the MTA team, I said to him to request me for prayers. There he wrote a letter specially saying that I have now conveyed this request for prayers. He would often speak about this point, about how in the Central Asian countries the message of Ahmadiyyat could be spread most rapidly. The same Muallim Sahib writes that whilst reading the books of Ravil Sahib, one realizes that he always endeavors that somehow the message of Ahmadiyyat should be spread to all the people of his nation, that is, those who understand and speak the Russian language. He then writes, when at the beginning Ravil Sahib was reading out the translation of your sermons on MTA, one realized that the reason why he was reading it out with such heartfelt pain and so eloquently was that so that people could hear the voice of the Imam of the time, Rustam Hamad Ali Sahib, who is the Sadr or President of the Moscow Jamaat. He writes in his letter of condolence that respected Ravil Sahib was a very scholarly person. God the Almighty had granted him with great knowledge, which he very open-heartedly provided benefit to others with. After accepting the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, he completely devoted himself up to the servitude of God the Almighty, the service of Jamaat and people. After this, through his splendid personal qualities, for example, humility, his love for humanity, his kindness and compassion, his sincerity, his forgiveness, his overlooking of others' faults, he is always asking from only God Almighty for help, always trying to help others, and allowing others to share in his best qualities are all a part of his good virtues. Our missionary, Basharat Sahib, he writes, I remember that time extremely well, when your Friday sermon for the first time was broadcast in the Russian language. This is 2 years ago, it was broadcast for the first time. A local Elder Ahmadi was with me at that time, the Tutorev Sahib. He was also watching the khutbah, the Friday sermon. When the Friday sermon completed, everyone was crying in happiness. We all hugged each other and congratulated one another. This khutbah was recorded in the voice of Raveel Sahib. Then this started a series of khutbahs in the voice of Raveel Sahib. In this way, the voice of the Khalifa of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam being conveyed to the Russian brothers and sisters, this honor was first granted to Raveel Sahib. He thus had the opportunity to be a helper of the Khalifa. He then writes, he came at a later stage, but through the blessings of Khilafat and under the shade of the Khalifa, he surpassed us. May Allah the Almighty treat him lovingly and affectionately. Hazrat says, may Allah the Almighty produce countless such persons who are Sultan in Nasir, that is, helpers. Hazrat says, after the Friday prayers, I will lead his funeral prayer. The body will be brought outside. I will go out and lead the funeral prayer. The rest of the people should stay here and set the rose. Apart from this, there are two, three other funeral prayers in absentia. One is of respected Sahibzada Dawood Ahmed Sahib, son of respected Sahibzada Muhammad Shafi Sahib of Sarai Nurang, district Banuka. From both his paternal and maternal side, Sahibzada Dawood Ahmed Sahib was related to Sahibzada Abdul Latif Sahib Shaheed. This Sahibzada Dawood Ahmed Sahib Shaheed, on 23rd January at 9:45, he was martyred in Nurang. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The martyr's mother was a daughter of Sahibzada Abdul Salam Sahib's daughter, who was the son of Sahibzada Abdul Latif Sahib Shaheed. So therefore, he was the maternal great-grandson of Sahibzada Abdul Latif Sahib Shaheed. From his paternal side, respected Dawood Sahib's grandfather, Makaram Sahibzada Abdul Rab Sahib, was Hadrat Sahibzada Sahib's sister's son, who was married to Mir Akbar Sahib. Later, these people joined the Lahori Jamaat. The family of Sahibzada Dawood Sahib, the martyr. After the martyrdom of Sahibzada Abdul Latif Sahib, they shifted from Afghanistan and came to Sarai Nurang. He was born in 1955. As I mentioned earlier, on 23rd January, he was martyred at approximately 9:45. He left for some work. This was in the morning. He left for the market when in Sarai Nurang, two unknown assailants came on a motorbike, they fired at him and they martyred him. Before his martyrdom on 17th January 2012 on Tuesday, in Sarai Nurang, the Khatm-e-Nabud organization held a large gathering where they profanely abused the Jamaat. And they incited the people in that gathering. It seems that this martyrdom was a result of that. As I mentioned, the family of the martyr on the father's side, they became Lahori Ahmadis and they moved away from Khilafat. The deceased took the bed, the Pledge of Allegiance, 8 years ago and entered the Jamaat. He was the sole Ahmadi in his family, whereas all the other people were Lahori Ahmadis. He was an extremely sincere person who offered the Hajjat, regular in his chanda and zakat. He was extremely sincere and devout person, very compliant with the Jamaat in giving and taking, and also in his general expenditure. He had no enmities. He also had some heart ailments. In 2004 or 2005, he had an operation of bypass. Despite this, he would keep fast after. He took retirement from his employment. Some of his colleagues said that you are eligible for pension, therefore you should apply for a pension. But he said that there must have been many shortcomings during my employment. As a result of that, I give this pension to the government so that I do not remain indebted to the government in any way. After his retirement, he would take care of his land and he would live off the rent of his shop in the Sarai Nurang market. The martyr is survived, apart from his two brothers, by his wife, Amtul Hafiz Saiba. He had no children. Ahmadis, from time and again, as we hear, are being martyred in Pakistan. But are these martyrdoms overwhelming our resolve? I have said this many a times, that after the incident in the Lahore Mosque, where 84 were martyred, these other people presumed that perhaps the courage and resolve of Jamaat would be severely shattered. But I received letters from the children and the mothers that our resolve has increased more than before. And they sent requests that pray that we also become those who offer sacrifices. But these were not just mere verbal assertions. In fact, practically they displayed this from every direction. In the past few days, in Leia as well, one lady was martyred in the previous month. I led the funeral of that. In this martyrdom, they attacked our mission house. When the Ahmadis came to defend it, then the ladies also joined the men. And one young lady, she was killed in this incident when the enemy attacked. She had no fear and no terror of any kind. This lady, very happily challenging, she was martyred. So therefore, these are those Ahmadi women and men and children who never fear of giving any sacrifice. So today, those who are martyred, such as our Sahibzada Daud Ahmed Sahib, may Allah the Almighty also accept his martyrdom. Allah the Almighty accepted his pieties because he was granted the ability to enter Jamaat Ahmadiyya from the Lahori Jamaat. Then he was also granted the ability that he attained the status of martyrdom. This is a link of that strengthening of faith which in Jamaat Ahmadiyya has been offered for more than 100 years, and the start of which began with the paternal great-grandfather of the Shaheed whose funeral we are reading today, Sahibzada Abdul Latif Sahib Shaheed, when he was martyred in the second phase of Islam. Therefore, today the soul of Sahibzada Sahib will once again be joyous that his bloodline, even after 100 years, has fulfilled its obligation. The circumstances for Pakistani Ahmadis today is worsening. They are trying to make life for Ahmadis as worse as possible. Therefore, pray especially for Pakistani Ahmadis. May Allah the Almighty protect them in every way and safeguard them from every evil. And may Allah the Almighty rapidly bring the enemy under his wrath. The other funeral is of our sincere friend Mukarram Mirza Nasir Ahmed Sahib, advocate of Lahore. He passed away on 25th December. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He took the bed, the Pledge of Allegiance, in 1948. And he also was a part of the Furqan Battalion. In 1974, Hadrat Khalifa Masih Salis, the third Khalifa, may Allah have mercy upon him, made certain teams of lawyers, and he was also made a member. He worked for the Jamaat as a lawyer in the Supreme Court as well. He also served as a journalist in the weekly Lahore newspaper, and he served the Jamaat in this manner as also. He served in various Jamaat cases. Aside from this, against the cruel ordinance of 1984 on behalf of the Jamaat, he also came before the Sharia court and he was part of the panel. He also served in various capacities in Lahore. He was secretary, Rishtanata, member of Majlis Ifta. He was also Qazi Jamaat Lahore. Similarly, he also worked in the Human Rights Commission. The incident that occurred on 28th May, he was in Darul Zikr Mosque. His son was alongside him at the time. His son was injured in the firing, but very courageously he stayed there and he kept on giving him resolve. He was a person who prayed profusely, who was very content steadfast and grateful, and a person who always was compassionate and helpful to others. He was ready to make every sacrifice for the sake of Khilafat-e Ahmadiyyat. He always spoke according to the surroundings and circumstances. He was also a Musi. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank and also grant him forgiveness. There is one more funeral. This is Rabia Begum Sahiba, who is the wife of Muqarram Master Master Ali Sahib of Assam, India. She passed away on 20th January in Calcutta. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She served for a long time as a Sadr Lajna of Assam and Bengal. She was very cooperative and compliant with her husband and helped him in all his work. He was the Emir of the province of Bengal. Even in her illnesses, she would travel with her husband. She was extremely pious, sincere, and a person of high moral qualities. She is survived by 3 daughters and 2 sons. One of her sons is Ismatullah Sahib, who at Jalsas also recites poems. There are many poems of his on MTA. May Allah the Almighty grant the deceased forgiveness and elevate her rank. As I stated, all of these funerals will be led after the Friday prayers just now.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وَدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ